Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 12 o'clock hour, I'm not doing the segment, the crown segment. Shout out to BT and Sal. Keith McPherson filling in for BT and Sal. You know, talking about the Yankees with Brian Hoke, and like I was saying towards the end of the call, I think this can be a September to remember. I think this can be another September where the Yankees clinch the division, where the Yankees go on a run here to create some room. They have guys come back, rosters expand, you see Dominguez come up, and it's like, yo, this is a strong team. This is a team that can get it done. Why not them? Power rankings are coming up, coming out, and they have the Yankees at the top. The Yankees have the best record in the AL. I mean, Judge, I haven't even talked about this. Obviously, Judge is the MVP, but he could win the Triple Crown. Right? In 2022, I remember saying, don't leave out the fact that he was this close to winning the Triple Crown. Luis Arraez with Minnesota, they ended up sitting him. You know, he didn't even play the last series so that he could keep his average where it was and beat Judge. Bobby Witt Jr., come on, Bobby Witt. Bobby Witt needs a slump. Bobby Witt needs a bad week or two here and Judge to continue and maybe Judge overtakes him. So with all these things, right, health on the way, the tandem of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, both of those guys, MVP, you know, top five MVP votes. Judge going to most likely win the MVP, potentially break his own AL home run record, maybe get the Triple Crown. And Giancarlo Stanton coming back, him contributing after being hurt. Gleyber Torres finding it. If there ever was a time, Gleyber, it's now for you to find it at the plate and lock in defensively. You know, there's just so many little things with the rotation. I just was talking to my guy, Eddie Mata. Shout out to Eddie. Eddie is going down there to Nationals Park. I haven't been down there. I think I have 17 ballparks. I haven't been down there. He said he's going there for the first time. I'm like, I would have loved to try to get to this series. You know, they got to go down there and handle business. It's Nestor Cortez. Nestor's had back-to-back good outings. Do it again. Garrett Cole has been putting together good outings. Do it again. Carlos Rodon. You know, Eddie made a point about Carlos Rodon. I had him in here on my show. And shout out to him. He's listening as he drives down to D.C. I'm like, oh, perfect timing. I'm on the midday as you're making the trek down. He says, remember on your show I said that Rodon would get at least 14, 15 wins. And, like, go back to the beginning of the season where the Yankees were. With Cole getting hurt, it was immediate panic. We were saying they have to sign Jordan Montgomery. They have to sign Blake Snell. Some of you were saying bring in Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer still not in the league for all those calls that I took on Trevor Bauer. I told you it wasn't happening. But Carlos Rodon was someone that everybody pointed at and said, he needs to have a bounce back year. He needs to have a good year. Now, he's had good parts of this year and terrible parts of this year. But all in all, you know, Carlos Rodon has answered the bell. He's been available. He was only available half the year last year. And when he has decent starts, the Yankees win. When he has terrible starts, he can't get out of the gate, the Yankees lose. So, I mean, is Carlos Rodon taking the ball for you in the postseason to get a start? 888-808-1019. I think Nestor, what Nestor showed you against the Guardians, he might actually be a guy that gets a start. Obviously, it's Cole game one. We'll see what happens with the young man, Luis Gil, coming back next month as well. If he comes back to assume his starting role or if he comes out of the bullpen, Cody Poteet is another option to take starts, not in the postseason, but maybe where Will Warren, you don't see him anymore. And yeah, you know, the Rail Riders will be done. Guys like Ben Rice, the season will be done for you. Like Rizzo comes back and I don't know what they're going to do with DJ. I think that ship has sailed. But all in all, when you look at this Yankees team and you look at the American League, I'm on record saying I want no parts of the Houston Astros. I've done it. I don't want to see them. If we have to see them again in the ALCS, like I won't be shook of the moment, But if, you know, you're asking me today on August 26th, do I want to run into the Astros to avenge the past? No. No. If you're asking me today if I'm afraid of the Houston Astros, yes, of course. Look what they've done. Look where they are. They're a first-place team now. They were left for dead. Look what they're doing again. They get right when it comes time to have postseason baseball. They know that they are going to have a home field advantage down there in Houston. Their fans are going to show up dressed in spacesuits and dressed as aliens and yelling and screaming and wearing orange jerseys. And, you know, it's the Houston Astros. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. They're going to be cheating somehow. They're going to do something, right? They go get Hector Neris. Hector Neris was DFA'd by the Chicago Cubs. I guarantee you he's great for them, right? Their pitching was decimated. Justin Verlander comes back. Framber Valdez has been on one. Arrigetti, the rookie, has been solid for them. They just figure out ways to do it. And then you have guys like Jose Altuve and Bregman and Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker when he gets back. Like, it doesn't matter. Jeremy Peña, it doesn't matter who it is. They're going to find a way. But I'm not afraid of them. I'm just saying, I don't want to meet the Astros. I'm not looking forward to that. They've knocked the Yankees out of the postseason 2015, 17, 19, 2022. I'd rather not. But the Baltimore Orioles don't scare me. The Kansas City Royals, no. The Minnesota Twins, no. So if there ever was a time, if there ever was a year, a 15-year drought, right? I've had nights where I talked about the longest droughts in history. If there ever was a time to get back to the World Series and win it, it's right now. 888-808-1019. It's right in front of them, like Aaron Boone said. Let's go to Gary in Monroe, New Jersey on the Fan. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? It's good talking to you because I can see you're a deep Yankee fan like I am. But Keith, I want to explain something. The Yankees, they've been a stacked team. That team is stacked. The cancer to the Yankees, to me, is Aaron Boone, the decisions he makes. He's not, like, even the game you seen that where Griffin got thrown out at home plate, you telling me he didn't have a better guy to run instead of Griffin?
Had to let Jamai Jones. Had to let Jamai Jones go. No.
No. Or you could have put in Ben Rice to run. Or why is Wells not starting? Why are you platooning Wells? He earned the spot. Let Trevino just give him a rest days. Why is Clay Holmes still Mariano Rivera on this team? What is Boone doing? Why is Warren pitching when his earned run average is like 12? Explain this to me, because I don't think he's alone in the decision making.
I think he is the manager, and he does get to steer the ship during the game for the most part. But they meet and they talk about these things, and Boone is going to defend his players no matter what, and Boone is going to lean towards veteran because he's a former player. He's going to lean towards veterans and guys with experience, and you know it's 162 games. They don't look at each game like us as a diehard fan, must win, got to. They're sticking with their plan. And, you know, even all the little things that you mentioned, I don't think it's just Aaron Boone outright. I think it's a collection of the Yankees front office making decisions on lineups and things like that. But Aaron Boone, the biggest thing for.
Let me ask you a good question. Would you have traded Gleyber Torres for Chaz? If he was on the Marlins,
Gleyber Torres for Jeff.
Gleyber fan, I would never trade Gleyber. I love Gleyber. Talent wise, he's raw talent. Like even his smooth playing in the field.
Thanks for the call, Gary. I gotta let you go. I don't know. First off, Boone doesn't do the trades, right? So we went from Boone to talking about the trade, and then Jazz Chisholm was traded for Augustin Ramirez and a couple other prospects that nobody really knows their names. It was floated in the offseason to trade Gleyber Torres for Alex Verdugo, and I didn't want to do it. And then Verdugo got traded for Greg Weissert and a couple other arms. And with Gleyber Torres, I have wanted Gleyber Torres traded since 2021 because he scares me. He gives me anxiety. That in the moment that you don't need a mistake, he's going to be the one to make a mistake, and it's over and over and over. That's why I say right now, yo, this is the last month or 2 months, Gleyber, lock in and give us your best baseball, right? He does have the talent. It's always been upstairs. they're now not going to get anything back for him. It is what it is. So you hope the return on the investment is Gleyber Torres hitting 3-run homers, Gleyber Torres being a leadoff hitter when you need one, like Gleyber Torres not making errors and making stupid bonehead mistakes. Now back to Aaron Boone. What I was trying to say was the biggest thing for me with Boone is a mentality. Now I say that to bring up this. Jorge Posada was asked what he'd like to see the current Yankees take from the 2009 team during Old Timers Day. He said, just a little attitude. It takes a lot of guts and takes a lot of wanting. I think they can do that. That's him being nice about it. That's him nice about not being soft. Going out there and competing. Going out there and bringing some attitude. That's why I looked at Francisco Lindor and I'm like, this guy leads the way. He's always playing with attitude. He's always playing with want to, with guts. It's serious. And not going through the motions like the day Verdugo popped up a bunt and then he came out against the White Sox. Oh, yeah, you know, well, it's the first time I ever popped up a bunt. You know, it's just another day. Like, it's, you know, just a bad day. Just another day we're on the wrong side of it. No, this is the Chicago White Sox. They're historically bad. The Chicago White Sox potentially bail out the Mets this year. Anthony DeComo put out a tweet saying the White Sox today became just the fourth team to lose at least 100 games before the start of September. Chicago's on pace for 123 losses, which would surpass the 1962 Mets with 120 for the most in the modern era of MLB baseball. MLB baseball. Major League Baseball baseball. MLB history. It's a record that has stood for 62 years. So when you're playing against a team like the White Sox, it's not just another day. You can't be so cavalier. You can't be so cool like Trent Grisham fielding a ball in center field where that ball bounces away from you and the runner advances. You can't be so chill when the ball is hit off the wall by Austin Wells in a tie game where you could be the difference. You could score. And you're looking back and you're not going full speed. That's my biggest thing with Aaron Boone. I think these guys are too comfortable in Yankee pinstripes. That's my biggest thing with the manager. I think he could light a fire under these guys, and maybe he tries, but I think his approach has been so cool. He's a player's coach. Everybody has got a pet name with a Y on it. Judgy, Glaby. They started calling Oswaldo Cabrera Cabby. It's too much of a like a country club when it really should be a culture of, yo, we play today, we win today, that's it. Go out there and go get it. You're playing in pinstripes, road grays. You're not here forever, Alex Verdugo, Gleyber Torres, Trent Grisham. You have right now with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Make the most of it. 888-808-1019. Zachary out on Long Island. Thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you doing today? Love watching you guys. Me and my dad love watching the show. I just want to ask, how are the Yankees going to play this postseason? Me and my dad be talking about it at night, and I just want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, they got to show up. Thanks for the call, Zach. They got to. So historically, we say the bats disappear. Historically, we say they can't hit in the postseason. Not worried about the pitching. The pitching will be there. Pitcher will work itself out. Well, when you have a lineup with Juan Soto, well, start with Gleyber Torres. Let's not discount him in the leadoff spot, what he can do. And, I mean, Gleyber has done it in the postseason. When you have Juan Soto coming up after Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge coming up after him, Giancarlo Stanton, who's postseason proven, even Austin Wells, who I think is going to be ready to roll, and then guys in the bottom of the lineup that you can't take lightly either, Volpe when he's on, come on, kid. We need you to do it, Volpe. If you do it in October, we won't make a fuss about what happened during the regular season. It'll all be about the moments that you have in the DS, in the CS, in the Fall Classic. How are they going to play in October? They need to play like they're the New York Yankees. They need home field advantage. They're going to have the Bronx Zoo behind them. 50,000 screaming fans throwing popcorn and beers in the air, high-fiving, jumping up and down, making it tough for opposing pitchers that are in that bullpen, making it tough for opposing pitchers that are on that mound, feeling like the stadium's on top of them. They're going to have that. So they need to show up. The bats need to show up. And now I think we're going to get a consistent lineup for the most part the rest of the way, where I think that's going to help. Knowing who you're batting in front of, who's behind you, knowing what to expect, having conversations with the guy in front of you as he's coming away from the plate or in the dugout. Hey, what'd you see from this guy? What did he throw you? You got down in the count. What did like that? That stuff's gonna help. And then Aaron Judge knows for his legacy, for his history, he has to do it in October. They will hold it against him that he hasn't performed in the postseason. They will hold it against him that he doesn't have a ring. Oh, don't put him in the Yankees Mount Rushmore yet. He's got to do it in October. It's a team sport. He's not going to do it alone. The Yankees have to do it. 888-808-1019. We have to go to break.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers against St. Louis at Yankee Stadium on Sunday, September 1st. Right now, be caller number 6 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And The Fan, listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. 888-808-1019. This show is smoking by. It's flying by. We've passed the morning. KM in the PM now. We're about 30 minutes into the afternoon. Hello, this is Keith McPherson filling in for BT and Sal once again. Shout out to Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata. Hope they are well. I said that I wake up every morning and I usually throw this on Twitch on the big screen or, you know, on the Odyssey app, of course. But I like to watch. I like to watch and interact with the chat. So I want to do another quick check-in. Also, we'll get to your calls. Tom, Mikey, Tony, you guys are up in that order. And I said I wanted to check in with the guy. So on Twitch, I think his name is Galileo. He says, Keith, let's hear your thoughts on the Yanks starting rotation going into the postseason. It's Cole, number one. Number two, I'm not exactly sure, but I think Nestor Cortez or Carlos Rodon. It depends what they want to do. Those are two left-handed pitchers. It depends on the matchup. Luis Gil is a guy that I had penciled in as the number two guy, as the game two starter for a while. But the inevitable happened. You know, he ran out of gas a little bit. He got hurt. And I don't know what to expect out of him coming back. Maybe he's a bullpen arm. Who knows? Marcus Stroman as a veteran, I think you could see the Stro Show potentially be a game three guy. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answers. I mean, the Yankees do things sometimes that make me want to pull my hair out. So I don't know what they're going to come up with. I don't think there's really any, you know, wrong way to go. A lot of times they do things that make you scratch your head, like, you know, Jamai Jones leading off and J.D. Davis batting cleanup or forcing DJ LeMahieu out there time and time again. Or, I don't know, picking up Tim Mesa and putting him out there over and over again. Like, it's a consistent theme every year. I don't know, Andrew Heaney making starts, Rougned Odor playing out of position, playing guys out of the position. Like, you know, the Yankees lead the league in playing guys out of position, and they lead the league in different lineup combinations. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Love them anyway. Excited for October. Excited for the postseason rotation, however it shakes out. You know you got Gerrit Cole game one. Rich, 23-28, says the Soto contract. What's the maximum you would pay him? I'm not putting a max on what to pay Juan Soto. Tom is in Wyckoff. What's up, Tom? You're on The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really, really appreciate the way you communicate as opposed to some of these other upcoming entities that think they are going to change the world. But nonetheless, I have to disagree with you about Soto. I'm a little bit nervous talking on the phone, so bear with me. But let me ask you a quick question. Whose team is the Yankees?
Who owns the team or who's the player on the team that you look at? It's Aaron Judge's team. It's been Aaron Judge's team.
Obviously, right.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So no matter what, it's going to throw shade on Soto. For instance, if Soto hits 52 home runs next year as a Yankee, they're going to go, but it wasn't 64.
No way.
Juan wants his own team.
No
He's young.
If Soto hits 54 home runs next year, I don't think one person's going to say, you're not Aaron Judge. Like, no way.
No. I'm talking about Juan himself. It's Aaron Shade. You know,
You want to be the captain. You want to be a team. The guy's got his career ahead of him, being so good so young. So that,
you know what I think
said,
about Juan Soto at 25 years old? Juan Soto sees no man on the field that is better than him, even Judge.
Absolutely.
You know what he has that Judge doesn't have? A World Series ring. He's playing with Judge. They're on the same team. They want the same thing, a World Series ring. Juan Soto played with scrubs in the Washington Nationals organization after he won it, and he won it out. Juan Soto also did play with stars like Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado,
absolutely,
and supposedly they didn't get along. You haven't heard anything about him not getting along with Aaron Judge. This is a tandem. You need a tandem, a duo. You need a dynamic duo. I think he wants to continue playing with Aaron Judge because he's having the best season of his career.
I agree with you. Let me say one other thing. What if the station said to you, hey, you know, you're our star, but we're going to bring another person in on the evening show. And by the way, he's going to get $20 million more a year than you. Now,
where did you guys find $20 million to put a co-host next to me with $20
million? I'm using the analogy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
36.
It depends.
He's going to get 55 or 65. And you think Judge is going to say, hey, it's my team, I'm the star.
No.
And yeah, Soto's good. But where's my other $25 million?
No,
and they can't do that.
Good points, Tom, and thank you for the call. But here's something else with these guys. They're alphas, and they know when guys are betas, and they know when they meet another alpha that, like, they're in tandem right now. This is a tag team, right? This is a partnership. Soto and Judge, 24, make the stadium loud again. So far, so good. Money? Okay, let's talk about the money. Judge, as a right fielder 2 years ago, made $40 million a year. After the Yankees tried to give him a lot less, he ended up putting together a contract where he's making $40 million a year for 9 years, $360 million. Okay. Juan Soto comes 2 years later. I remember hearing Gerrit Cole talk about Curt Flood, talking about players that came before them that fought so that the next player makes more money. They have a strong union. They want the next guy to make more money. I've listened to Judge talk about Soto. He marvels at the fact that Soto is as young as he is doing what he's doing, because the age that Soto is right now is the age that Judge entered Major League Baseball, and he struggled. I mean, then he obviously had the rookie year that he had, but his first year, like, there were some struggles. For Juan Soto to be as mature, as developed, look like a guy that's been around for 10 years already, I think Soto and Judge together, there's not going to be a measuring contest. There's not going to be a Judge feeling like, oh, well, my $360 million is nothing. Judge turned down $400 million. So when Soto breaks the bank and is making $580, is that going to affect Judge's approach? Hell no. Judge is coming to the stadium every day, putting in the work, doing what he wants to do. These guys want to win. They were just around the 2009 Yankees that have shiny World Series rings. They want to win more than anything. They love the game. They didn't get into the game for money when they were kids. I don't think there's going to be a measuring contest where Judge is looking at Soto like, you can't pay him more than me. He is expecting him to make more money than him. He's going to have more years in the deal, and he's going to have a higher AAV. Now let's talk about the AAV. I don't know why some people seem to think that Juan Soto is going to get $70 million a year or a $700 million deal. He's not Ohtani. Ohtani is two players. You're combining a starting pitcher, an ace, and one of the best DHs in the game into one player as Ohtani. His team can come in and they can create that contract that they created with all the deferred money and $700 million. I think Juan Soto, I was crunching the numbers on one of my shows late last weekend. I think Juan Soto comes in between $550. I think $550 is like a sweet spot. And then it depends on negotiations and what other teams. Maybe Steve Cohen is willing to go $580. Maybe it goes higher. But AAV, if we're talking about AAV in a contract, if Judge got $40 million a year and you're expecting Juan Soto to get... Juan Soto, like, these pitchers got, like, 43. So what do you expect Juan Soto to get? Max, like, 47 times 13? That would put him over 600. I don't think they're going that far. I just think there's not going to be that many teams that can go that far. It's not like he can just name a price. What if no one's willing to take it? What if the Mets aren't willing to take it? What if the Yankees aren't willing to take it? I had 45... times 13, that put me at 585 for Juan Soto next year. 45 a year for 13 years. And I think that is the top. I think that it might not even get there.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. Still here. Still doing it. KM and the PM now. Had a little AMKM filling in for BT and Sal. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host here on the midday, doing the thing, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I said at the quarter of every hour I would do a Twitch chat check-in. And I mean, I've been in the Twitch chat the entire time, but now we're at the quarter of the hour. I couldn't do it when I had Brian Hoke on in the 11 o'clock hour, but I've been, you know, keeping tabs on you guys because I always see in the chat when BT and Sal are on, people are like, do they read the chat? Do they talk to the chat? They do that in the Rico Bronya, too. Evan will do the Rico Bronya, and there will be, there. I think Friday night, no, Thursday night, I was in the Rico Bronya chat, and there was like 700 people after the Mets had the win like that to start the series, you know, absolutely pounding the Padres late in the game to leave no doubt. There were a ton of Mets fans in the chat, so I don't know. I'm an internet guy. Before I was on the radio, I worked in social media. I don't think WFAN would have found me if I didn't have a following on social media. So it's twofold. I know the back end stuff, and I'm just on there as a fan. So shout out to the chat. LA2203, does the GOAT Keith read the chat? I said, yeah, of course. McCann5656 says, my man Keith looking like a snack. I said, whoa. Bronx Paradise says, Keith, I love you, bro. I said, thanks. X_smooth X says, oh God, I come in and I see Keith. Have a good one, guys. I said, bye. Having a good time in the chat. And that's where I got the conversation about the max that you would pay Juan Soto. And then Hoff gave me a good little nugget, something that I missed over the weekend while I was celebrating 10 years since the MLB fan cave down in Atlanta. So Jordan Montgomery on Friday had some things to say about his agent. And I've been talking about this all season, about how Scott Boras has to make up for the failed offseason he had for the Boras 5. You guys remember me calling these guys the Boras 5? We'll start with Jordan Montgomery, who clearly is upset with his contract. He said, obviously, Boras kind of butchered it. So I'm just trying to move on from the offseason and try to forget it. Jordan Montgomery comes off of winning a World Series, thinking he's going to get paid big money, thinking he's going to get a long-term deal. He had to wait through the whole spring training, sign a short-term deal, and it affected his season. Also, it affected Blake Snell's season, who did come out and throw a no-hitter and has looked good as of late. But in the beginning of the year, he talked about it without throwing Boras under the bus, that, hey, you know, I missed all of spring training. Why'd you miss spring training? Because your representation couldn't get you with a ball club. You're a two-time Cy Young winner. Coming out of the NL, you would think that he was the guy that would go right away. He didn't. He goes with the Giants, right? And then I know Scott Boras called him to say, hey, man, can you take up for me? Jordan's out there slandering my name. We got to do better for Boras Corp. Remember Garrett Cole in that World Series with the Houston Astros that they lost to the Nationals? How quick Garrett Cole took off his H hat for Houston and put on the B Boras Corp hat to basically let everybody know what time it is. I'm represented by Scott Boras. We're going out there looking for big money. Well, Blake Snell says, my experience with Scott has been great. He told me everything that was happening, all the offers I got. So for him to just get bashed for what I believe is false, that's not fair at all. I really strongly believe that. Good job. Good job. Boras called you and said, hey, man, can you defend me? Can you take up for me here? I haven't heard anything from his teammate, Matt Chapman. When we talk about the Boras 5, there's a third guy, Monty Snell, Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman thought he was going to get a longer deal, more money. Ends up going back to the Bay Area. Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger was a guy, there was a lot of talk about him being a Yankee. He hasn't had a great year, and he doesn't have a long-term deal after that one-year deal that he had to take with the Cubs. He goes back to them on another short-term deal. Oh, last but not least, J.D. Martinez right here with the Make It Happen Mets. the OMG Mets. He said he chose the Mets because he's addicted to the postseason. He's come alive here late, hitting home runs, doing his part. But being addicted to the postseason, I mean, it's not a lock, not a guarantee that the Mets make the postseason. I want to say you more ended up being with the Mets late, which also affected your season, right? We were waiting for J.D. Martinez to start. You were late because of Scott Boras. That's the Boras five. Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, and J.D. Martinez, they all ended up getting these short-term deals, and three out of the five were not in camp on time, which affected their play, which affects the money that you end up making. 888-808-1019. So I say that to say this. With Juan Soto, he's looking for redemption. With Juan Soto, he's looking to break the bank. With Juan Soto, he's looking to cash out. He said, this is a centurion. Whatever team signs him is going to make billions. So they're looking for a half a million. At least, I think the conversation starts at $500 million. At least. Hoff just came in here and said he thinks he's going to make $700 million. I'm like, no, I don't. I mean, I know that they want him to be the highest paid player, but Ohtani's going to have that title. I think that the league pushed back against Scott Boras and his clients, and I think that they're going to do that again. If the deal is not there to be had, they don't get to just name their price. 888-808-1019. Also, with the deferred money, I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not an agent. I'm not a business of baseball guy. But with that deferred money, you know, Scott Boras is 81 or 71. Is he going to defer money 10 years till he's 81? Defer money 15 years? I keep hearing about Ohtani's contract. It has nothing to do with Juan Soto. I think Scott Boras wants the money right now. He wants his cut. He wants the highest AAV and as many years as he can get. And hopefully he lives to the end of Juan Soto's contract. But he's getting up there in age. He knows he's not. He knows he's got to get that money right now. There was a rumor that was passed my way that he promised Juan Soto and his family $500 million or more. Obviously, Juan Soto is going back to D.C. where he turned down $440 million. You guys remember that? When he turned down that contract, I remember going to L.A. for the All-Star game. He had to fly himself out. He could afford a ticket. But the Washington Nationals were so petty. Since he turned down that 15-year, $440 million deal, they wouldn't even fly him to L.A. for the All-Star game. He got his own flight out there. And then he showed up late for the festivities and went on to win the home run derby. I was sitting right behind home plate where he walked off the home run derby, fell to a knee, threw his bat in the air. And I'm like, this is why Juan Soto is Juan Soto. He was doing that 2 years ago at 23. The age that he's going to hit the market, the city that he's currently in, the team that he's playing for, the New York Yankees, and their crosstown rivals, the New York Mets, having the richest owner in the sport, and Scott Boras being the baseball Bond villain that he is, this is going to be a ridiculous contract numbers-wise, but I do think there are some parameters. Not for me. I don't have a ceiling for it. I just don't think he's topping Ohtani's numbers. Ohtani is two players in one. Ohtani has deferred money. There are, some parameters that the Yankees and the Mets will have to live by. They're both up there in payroll. But obviously, they both can afford Juan Soto. The Mets have money coming off the books. The Yankees have a lot of money coming off the books. He's already making $31 million right now. What do you think he's going to make? 51? I don't think he's going to get that much annual average value. I just don't see them paying a right fielder, which, a lot of people in the beginning of the year tried to knock his defense. A lot of people in the beginning of the year, I've seen him play good defense, specifically in Yankee Stadium in right field. I've seen him rob homers. I've seen him make good throws. I've seen him throw the ball in, and they don't know what to do with the ball. I don't think his defense is going to be a knock on him. What this guy has already done in his young career, what he stands to do in his Hall of Fame career, he already has a ring. Like, what he is as far as his brand, his value. I was talking one night about him being the first Dominican in Monument Park, him being the representation for Dominican fans, specifically in the Bronx. Dominicano, Dominicano, Dominicano. I spent a lot of time in the Bronx. I understand why there's so many flags over there around that right field pole. I understand the culture that exists with baseball in the Dominican community. Juan Soto could be the face of the Dominican baseball player with the New York Yankees, retire, have 22 in Monument Park with a couple World Series, 2, 3, 4, who knows how many with Aaron Judge batting behind him. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I've got 1 hour left. That's crazy. The time has flown by. We got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.